And here we go on this Tuesday, August the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2017. And being a Tuesday, which means it's a Rumination Tuesday, we have with us our good friend, Reverend Mark Smith.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing this day?
I'm doing really good. You liked the tune on this one, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do. I do. I really... Well, it's the same... It's the same tune as there's another one that that uses the same melody. I just like it, yeah.
Yes, this is called Hail, Thou Once Despised Jesus. And I can't ask Mark, did Martin Luther write it? Because we don't know who wrote it.
We don't know who wrote this one.
No.
It was written in the 1700s, wasn't it?
Yeah, 1757. For a while, there was a rumor that it was written by John Bakewell, which was one of John Wesley's lay preachers, but there appears to be no basis for that assumption. And so the two stanzas first appeared in 1757 in a small pamphlet titled Hymns Addressed to the Holy, Holy, Holy Triune God. And then there were a number of individuals who added verses to it. And, of course, the tune, which is sometimes called Conquer, it's a notable tune that's found in a few hymns.
Right.
Yes. So, let's just go ahead and read the first stanza.
All right. Hail, thou once despised Jesus. Hail, thou Galilean King. Thou didst suffer to release us. Thou didst free salvation bring. Hail, thou universal Savior, bearer of our sin and shame. By thy merit we find favor. Life is given through thy name.
I mentioned in the promo that what was interesting about this hymn, it doesn't waste any time in getting to the benefits
right
that we have received because of Jesus Christ. And according to that first stanza, what are some of those benefits?
Well, thou didst suffer to release us.
Now,
free salvation. Thou didst free salvation bring.
If we're released, that means we're held captive. From what were we released?
From sin, death, and the devil.
Yes. Very, very important. I would also say we're released from the curse of the law.
Curse of the law. You bet.
That curse of the law is found in no other religion in the world, that if you do one sin, you deserve eternal damnation. I don't know of any other religion. In every other religion, okay, yeah, God recognizes you sin, but if you start improving yourself and doing better, then that's going to be okay.
But Christianity teaches that just one sin
is
sufficient to condemn us.
Yeah,
and that's the curse of the law.
It's one of the reasons, and I'm sure you don't either, have testimony at the altar by lay members.
Right.
I was once a great sinner, and now that I become a member,
yes.
Boy, am I ever better. And
no, we don't do that in the Lutheran faith.
No, but you see, it shows a thinking on the part of the people who do that, that works is what saves you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, law and gospel is critical in interpreting how people understand the reality of God. Now, I'm not saying that these people are damned, because you can have theological errors in your head and still have proper faith in your heart.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that believe, they just can't verbalize it.
That, well said. That's good. Yes. So, why does he call him Galilean King?
Well, you know, I wondered about that myself. He is, he's from that section of Judea. He's not, you know, from Jerusalem. He's from Nazareth. A lot of his early ministry was, of course, around Capernaum, those fishing villages.
Well, what's interesting, Galilean means he's Jewish.
Right.
And yet, when he came, he didn't just die for Jews.
No.
I just love that one passage where the disciples say, get rid of this woman. And then he says to the woman,
The Syrophoenician woman.
Yes.
Right.
I have only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yes, oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the disciples are probably agreeing.
Send her away.
They don't understand she's part of that lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yeah, on Friday, somebody was asking how we understand Israel. And we understand it as a church.
Right, of course.
Yes. So it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. I mean, Paul makes it so clear.
That's right.
No distinction between
Jew or Gentile,
male
slave
or
free,
yeah.
Male or female. Right. We're all one in Christ Jesus.
I'm not sure I agree with the male or female, but that's all right. We'll just let it go.
Let it go this time, huh?
Yes.
Tom, you're going to get us in trouble.
Yes, big trouble.
On many levels.
Yeah. I'm just quoting your wife. Okay.
Oh, yeah, right.
So he did suffer to release us. That's really hard to understand without some kind of analogy. How can somebody else's suffering release somebody else?
Well, it can only be done by the Son of God, who has blood of infinite value, who can atone for the sins of the whole world, the sins of all time. I mean,
I'm looking for something, though, in our human experience where someone suffers and the other person is released. And I'm thinking, like, when you go
to
court.
Well, okay, I got a book, the end of the, you ever read A Tale of Two Cities?
Oh, my,
what's his name?
Dickens.
Charles Dickens.
Yes.
You know, the closing scene where that guy goes to the guillotine in place of
the other guy woman really loves.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Right.
That's
a good example.
It is.
That's really a good example. The one I was just thinking, very simple, that I am in court for, you have to make this up, of course, because it's so ridiculous, going over the speed limit. And the fine is $100, but I don't have the money. But you're sitting beside me, so you pay. Will the judge accept your money for my crime?
Yes, he will.
Of course he will.
Yeah, money is money, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so you suffer, and I'm released.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, but I like yours better, The Tale of Two Cities. I hadn't thought about that one. And that's what Jesus did, because he took the place of our execution.
That's right.
Like The Tale of Two Cities did. That's really a good one. I'm going to try and remember that. And
Typically, in this day and age, if you've got two guys on death row, one cannot die for the other.
No.
They both have to.
If you're dealing with
That's why with Christ, his blood, he's the only one that could die for the sins of the whole world. The only one.
Now, if he's a Galilean king, what other, let's see, what do we call that, description do we have of him that shows that he died for more than?
Universal Savior.
Exactly.
It says universal Savior.
Yeah,
right?
Universal.
Held out universal Savior.
Which means for everyone.
Right, for
bearer
all.
Bearer of our sin and shame. That's why the Father rejected him. Because he was the worst sinner in the world.
That's right.
On the cross.
He became, he who knew no sin took all our sins upon himself.
Yeah, and Paul makes clear that he became sin for us.
Right.
When did that occur? We've talked about it before.
I would say at the baptism of Jesus.
Exactly.
When that great transfer
took place. Because John says, no, I need to be baptized by you not by me. But in order to fulfill
all
righteousness.
Jesus, no, let it be. This has to be done.
I had to take on sin.
I think there's a lot of people that think it happened in the Garden of Gethsemane when, he was sorrowful unto death.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And he sweat drops of blood. And that's when he was taking the sins of the whole world upon himself. But no, I agree with you. I think at baptism already. Because he carried those sins with him his entire ministry.
Yes. And that's why he was despised.
Right.
Hail thou once despised Jesus. I was trying to figure out why the word once is in there, because Jesus is still despised.
That's a good point. Hail thou once despised Jesus. Well, of course, he's not despised.
No.
He's despised by the world. You're right.
That's right. I'll do two.
right.
Paschal lamb by God appointed, all our sins on thee were laid. By almighty love anointed, thou hast full atonement made. All thy people are forgiven through the virtue of thy blood. Opened is the gate of heaven, reconciled are we with God. Now, what I find interesting here, this is not written by a Lutheran.
I know, but it's got...
Boy!
But, you know, it's got some important distinctions there.
Yes.
You know, it talks about objective justification as well as subjective justification.
And describe that.
Well, objective is that he atoned for the sins of the whole world.
Yes.
Everybody.
Everybody's
even,
sins
even
is
Even those that finally reject him.
Yes.
Even their sins are atoned.
That's right.
But... It makes the distinction, all thy people are forgiven through the... In other words, only those that are his children by grace through faith in Christ are saved.
And open is the gate of heaven, reconciled are we with God. Now, that is so critical. I don't... This is why we go over the hymns. Because only in Christianity can we say... that we're reconciled with God. Because in every other religion, people want to be reconciled with God. That's not the task of the religion. The task of the religion is to get God to be reconciled with us.
Yes.
And so remember those famous phrases we learned at the seminary, that we had to appease God's wrath or placate his anger. That's the religion of the law.
Uh-huh.
Whereas here, and this is right out of Corinthians, that we're already reconciled with God.
That's right.
Because of the death of Jesus on the cross.
It is finished. It is accomplished.
So Christianity has a totally different task than every other religion in the world. Every other religion in the world is trying to get people to be so nice to God that God's going to say, well, I guess I like you, now I love you, now I'll save you. So you appease his wrath or minimize his anger. Whereas in Christianity, the work of the church isn't to get God reconciled, but to get you reconciled.
Right.
Now, who would not want to be reconciled with God?
Those that don't believe.
And I would say that when you say don't believe, I think the biggest problem is not the gospel, but the law.
Okay.
They don't believe the law is correct, that they're that bad.
That's right. That's right.
That is,
I'm not, we confess we're poor, miserable sinners. I'm not a poor, miserable sinner. And some of them may say, well, I'm poor, but I'm not really a miserable sinner.
Yes. Yeah, see, there's a good example where both words are misunderstood
by
a lot of the laity. When we're talking about that we're poor, it has nothing to do with wealth.
Uh-huh.
It has instead to do, what can you offer God to offset your sins?
Nothing.
You are poor.
Yeah. There's nothing I can offer him.
And miserable doesn't refer so much to your feelings.
Yeah.
I feel miserable about this. But instead... it's an indictment of your whole attitude towards God. You're miserable towards God. You don't like being told that you're such a sinner that it took God himself. Now, I can understand maybe a neighbor God had to die for, but certainly not me. And then you and I are pastors, so...
Oh, I know.
Boy, oh, boy.
We should have an inside track, right?
We should. But part of the problem in being a pastor is that, and this is really clear from the scripture with the prophets, the devil spends more time.
Yes.
Because if he can get a pastor to mess up.
He's got a big fish there. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've seen it all over the place. I just can't understand these congregations. This one, he wasn't Lutheran, of course, but he was fooling around with women. They caught him. And then they let him back into the church to preach. In fact, he's still on television.
No. You got to be above reproach. That's ridiculous.
No. Yeah. That's you have to have a good reputation because people just aren't going to listen
to you. That's right. And who's going to trust their daughter and wife? to be ministered to.
Oh, I just saw a good movie. In fact, I haven't seen the whole thing.
You're always watching good movies, Tom.
Yeah. for some reason, on our cable, Channel 22, they have murder after murder after murder. You know, because
you like those shows, huh?
I love seeing people get caught.
Like Law and Order, huh?
Yeah. Well, the thing I don't like about cops is they don't say what the punishment was for the people. On some programs, they say, and then he got 35 years in prison.
But you like police. You like the police.
I enjoy watching that kind of thing. Okay. But this was a movie about a pastor who killed two of his wives.
Oh, boy.
And people hadn't realized it. One fell down some stairs, and the other was in a car accident. But he was driving. He wasn't hurt at all. And they found a lot of blood in the garage. And such, it was really good. That's as far as I'm through it, so I'm going to be interested to
see. I don't even like to watch those shows.
Why?
I don't know. It just, it's creepy.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
There's no doubt.
To even think that there could be pastors like that.
Oh, yeah. I met them. Mm. Oh, no. Yeah. No. In fact, you and I know, even in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I know two recent pastors who just were removed because they were not behaving properly with, the way they should have. So, and that's what needs to happen.
Oh, yes.
When a pastor is accused of something, you just can't let them keep on going.
Right.
Yeah.
They can be forgiven.
Right.
If they're repentant, they could be forgiven, but that doesn't mean they can continue.
But you got to send a warning to other congregations.
Absolutely.
That one congregation in Michigan ended up getting a pastor who had been accused of fooling around with a little boy, and they hid it.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
No, there's no excuse for that.
And then you see all the Roman Catholic priests who were in trouble over these things. So, there's no doubt that Jesus is despised, but boy, becoming a pastor, you're not going to be liked even by some Christians in the congregation. Simply because...
the truth hurts.
Yeah. A lot of times that's true.
Yeah.
Stanza 3.
Jesus, hail, enthroned in glory, there forever to abide. All the heavenly hosts adore thee, seated at thy Father's side. There for sinners thou art pleading, there thou dost our place prepare. Ever for us interceding, till in glory we appear.
If you first look at the hymn, it says, there, enthroned in glory, forever to abide, which gives the impression, he's not coming back to us at all because he sends the Holy Spirit. But then, as you read at the end, ever for us interceding till in glory we appear.
Right. And he's with us even now, just not visibly.
In fact,
he continues to be with us.
Theology is the art of making distinctions, and these refer to the three offices of Christ.
Right. Prophet, priest, and king.
Excellent. There were those offices in the Old Testament. God set up people. Then Jesus was prophet, priest, and king on earth before he died. But now he's heavenly prophet, priest. No longer as priest does he do sacrifice.
No.
But he prays.
He prays
yes.
for us.
And then as prophet, remember, upon this your confession.
Right.
I by
virtue of my office.
That's right.
We are his voices.
Excellent. And then as king, of course, he holds the whole world in his hand. So, I mean, this hymn is packed full
of... It is. It really is.
Yes.
There's a lot of good theology here.
Explanation of theology.
Yes.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to be on Insight Wednesday talking about how people may know theology, but not know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. Like Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And 2 minutes later, he says, you're not going.
This can't happen to you. You can't go to the cross.
That's not what Christ means. Well,
poor Peter.
Behind me, Satan.
Poor Peter.
There, he probably was miserable.
Yeah.
And poor. All right. Stanza 4.
Worship, honor, power, and blessing, thou art worthy to receive. Highest praises without ceasing, right it is for us to give. Help, ye bright angelic spirits, all your noblest anthems raised. Help to sing our Savior's merits. Help to chant Emmanuel's praise.
Yeah, that's really good. The point I was going to make in one of these movies I was watching, they started singing a hymn. It was an English hymn. Those English hymns in England are so good.
And even better, they are the Welsh. I find the Welsh really, you know, they have those, their hymns have those crescendos, you know.
And yes,
you know, they're beautiful too.
Yeah.
But you're right. English hymns are beautiful. Give me some of your, what are your favorite ones, for instance?
Well, A Mighty Fortress. Uh-huh. Okay, so. Well, that was done in English.
That's one of the Germans, Tom. I hate to tell you that.
We got to get through stanza four, or else I would give you a whole list. This is actually quoting from Revelation 5, my favorite chapter in the whole Bible.
Uh-huh.
Worship, honor, power, and blessing. Because in Revelation 4, those attributes are given to God the Father.
Right.
But in Revelation 5, they're given to God the Son.
Uh-huh.
You know,
the Lamb.
The Lamb.
The Lamb who was able to open the book of seven seals, yes.
Excellent, excellent. And so, and they even say, you are worthy because you were crucified.
Mm-hmm.
That's God the Father's worthy because he created. The Son is worthy because he was crucified. And the Holy Spirit is worthy, of course, because he sanctifies us.
Makes us holy.
Yes. It is for us to give. Now, what's this? Help ye bright angelic spirits.
It's talking about all the heavenly hosts, to all the heavenly angels, right?
That's right.
In other words, contribute to our worship. That's the, if you want, that's a communion of saints. That's all
the liturgy?
With angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven.
Excellent.
We laud and magnify thy glorious name.
Well said. Well said. So, those angelic spirits are with us, and they help us to sing our Savior's merits, help to chant Emmanuel's praise. And what's Emmanuel?
Emmanuel is God with us. That's a name for Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah, Gabriel mentioned that to Mary.
Right.
And it's three Hebrew words, God with us.
Right.
Yes, El is always God, and so you got Elijah, you got a lot of L's, E-L,
right.
You know, in the English and such. So, and you like this tune, the one we did.
Yeah,
here.
I do. I kind of prefer this one than the one that is in the hymnal.
What do you preach on Sunday?
I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
I'm still working. You know, I've hit kind of a dry spell. And preachers sometimes
do this. Isn't this the one where he says, get thee behind me, Satan?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. Well, then.
No, I know. That's good. But
no, no, no. That's a great one to show that just because the reason you got to come to church isn't because you don't know theology, but a lot of times you don't understand it.
Uh-huh.
And what does Jesus do? He begins to explain what the word Christ means.
Right.
Which, of course, well, I don't like that, Peter says. So, and where's your church?
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church is in Crestwood, just south of the Watson New Sappington intersection. We have service Saturday at 5 p.m. or, of course, Sunday at 9 a.m. We'd love to have you.
And tomorrow, Law and Gospel Insight Wednesday. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.